श्री भक्तिवेदांत आश्रम की जय, श्री गिरिराज की जय। सो टुडे इज कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी, श्री कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी। There were many, okay, I just wanted to be sure what country we were in. There were supposed to be 600,000 people coming to the Delhi temple today, which is a very great accomplishment, I'm sure. Srila Prabhupada is very pleased with that. So, it was in 1974, on the 11th of August, that Prabhupada spoke. It was Janmasmi that day. And he spoke in the temple at Krishna Balaram temple or Radha Damodar temple, maybe, I guess it was. Could have been 1974. When was that temple opened in Vrindavan? 77. So he was speaking in Radha Damodar temple then. And he was speaking about Krishna in the land of Krishna. And if I remember correctly, he was speaking from Bhagavad Gita, from 7th chapter it was, yeah. This is the verse. Apare amitastvanyam prakrite vidime param jivabhuta mahamaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mind, which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of material, inferior nature. So the previous verse is the one in which it is said, Bhumir apo nalo vayu kamano bhudir eva cha. Hankariti amebina prakitir ashada. In this verse, Krishna explains that he is the source of the material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So when Prabhupada spoke in Vrindavan in 1974 at the Radha Damodar Temple on August 11th, it was Janmasmi. He was talking about the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. He was speaking about how Krishna controls the material nature. And he quoted many verses, including Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam He Tunane No Konteya. That Krishna is the controller of the material nature. And even though he was in the land of Krishna, in the place of Krishna's manifest pastimes, he was speaking about the fact that Krishna is the superior energy, apareyam, superior energy, superior to the inferior energy, apareyam itastvanyam prakriti vidime param. He said that prakriti is always controlled. And then he quoted from Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha. The Krishna is a supreme controller. And it's said in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ishvare Tadadineshu Balisheshu Vishatu Chat, Prema Maitre Karpopeksha Yakarochi Chamajama, that there are four essential things a devotee should do. One is Ishvare Tadadineshu, he should worship the Supreme Lord. Balisheshu Vishatsuchat, he should see all other people as being innocent, and he should preach to them. Should Ishvara Tadadineshu Balisheshu Prema Maitre Prapopeksha, he should become friends with devotees. He should reveal his intimate secrets to them. That is also mentioned in the Upadeshamrita, Guyamakati Prichati. So he should prema maitri prapopeksha and tadadineshu, he should avoid the envious. This is the practice of the majjhima adhikari, yakaroti cha majjhima. A majjhima adhikari is always preaching and always considering that people are like children, balisheshu dvishachucha, they're innocent and they need to be preached to. So, when Devaki was going to conceive, the six sons of Marichi appeared in her womb, and they were subsequently killed by Kamsa. They were manifested as the Garbhasuras, who are symbolic representations, Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Mada, Matsarya. These Garbhasuras represent calm, crow, lobe, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. So, the killing of these Garbhasuras, they were later brought back to life and reunited temporarily with Devaki, are symbolic because they represent the inebrieties of human life. Calm, the lust, crowed, anger, lobe, lust, anger, and greed, lobe is greed, moha is illusion, mada is madness, and matsarya is envy. The spiritual world is characterized by being free of envy. Once Prabhupada said that you don't need a certificate to know if you are in the spiritual world, because you will see that the spiritual world is free from envy. There is no envy in the spiritual world. In the material world, there is matsarya, envy. And everyone, the great fallacy of this material world is that we have come here because we want to be Krishna. We want to be God. We want to be the supreme controller. For preaching, we have to see people as being innocent. But at the same time, we should understand that people have come here out of envy of Krishna. They have come to the material world because they want to enjoy it. They want to be the master of the world. Sometimes even we see in our ISKCON society, some members, they don't like the management and they want to take over. They want to become the supreme controller. So it has happened in the history of ISKCON. It's happened in Toronto. It has happened in Los Angeles. It's happened in Washington, D.C. It has happened in London. People want to take control. So this is the disease of people in the material world. Somehow we've come to this material world because we want to be the controller. This is the great disease that we have to cure. So it is the charge of all devotees of ISKCON to reform human society, to teach everyone that they have to become a servant. Sometimes devotees are accused of trying to be slaves. They have a slave mentality. They just want to be slaves and servants. And this is considered to be a very dangerous position, to be controlled by others. But actually that is the real position, Gopi Bhartur Padakamalam, Anudas, 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 to be the servant of the servant of the servant 100 times of the servants of Krishna. This is the meaning and the purpose of a human being, not to be a controller, not to be a master, but to be a servant. So this lesson was taught to Devaki. She lost all her children because Kamsa wanted to be the controller. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. And actually that is the demonic mentality. It is to kill Krishna, the Supreme Lord. So symbolically, these 6 sons of Devaki were killed by Kamsa. Of course, later they were brought to life. But Kamsa represents the mentality of wanting to control. He was King Kamsa. He was a king. And he was such a king that he could not do anything with his hands. He had a very high position in society. There's a story that once he came to Vrindavan, onto the Parikram path. And when he came to Vrindavan, he lost all of his kingly power. So there were the elderly gopis were there. They were making paddies to build fires out of cow manure. And Kamsa, when he came there, he lost all of his power. And he asked Purnamasi, "What can I do?" So she said, "You are very old. You can make manure paddies." But he didn't know how to do anything with his hands. And He could not make them properly. So she became very angry with him and she said, you go away from here. You cannot even make proper manure paddies. So Kamsa went back to Mathura. No one can equal Krishna because he is the supreme controller. He is Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is always the supreme controller. Modern scientists think that science controls nature. Back in the 1700s even, Francis Bacon was saying that the purpose of human beings is to control nature, to make nature their slaves, he had a vision that people could fly in the air, that they would be able to talk on telephones over great distances. This was conceived back in the 18th century. And it has come to pass. So because of so many advances in science, in medicine, in transportation, in communication, people think that they are the controllers of nature, that they should make nature their slaves instead of being the slaves to Krishna. This is the disease of modern man, modern science. So the Krishna consciousness movement is to reform human society and to make people transform themselves to understand that they cannot control nature, that they should be the slaves to Krishna. The Garbhasuras represented these six inebrieties of human life. Lust. Lust is described in the Bhagavad Gita as being the greatest enemy of human beings. They are very lusty. And this, Krishna says, is a great overpowering enemy of human beings. And anger, krodha. Anger is very dangerous. Of course, because all these things except for envy can be used in Krishna's service. Anger can be sometimes used in Krishna's service. Krishna became very angry with Kamsa and he killed him. So this was a very great service. But in general, anger is considered to be a very dangerous position. So devotees do not succumb to anger. And greed, lobe. As soon as one becomes rich or becomes powerful, then the senses demand more. I want more money. I want more power. I want more sex. I want more food. I want more. The senses are insatiable. This is the meaning of greed. There's an English aphorism that says greed makes people stupid. They want more and more and more and more. But we see people on the Parikram path in Vrindavan and here in Govardhan. Sometimes they're doing 108 dandavats. Parikram dandavats in one place. And maybe it will take them their whole life to do. But they're very happy. And they're not greedy. They don't have a home. They don't have a place to live. They're very thin and lean. Once Kolavesha Sridhar was speaking with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya appreciated people who did not have material opulence. So he was making fun of Kolavesha Sridhar. Kolavesha Sridhar made his living by making banana leaf plates. And he had an old dhoti on that had many holes in it. So Lord Chaitanya was making fun of him. He said, Sridhar, you don't even have a proper dhoti on. There's holes in it. It's dirty. You haven't washed it. And then you're not very presentable. Why do you look like such a beggar? And Kolavesha Sridhar said to him, he said, why do I need a new dhoti? The birds, they live in the trees and the water comes down in the rain and it falls on them. My house may have many holes in the roof, but I don't care. I live just like the birds. They're very happy. They sing. And the water is falling down on them. Why do I need a new dhoti? Why do I need a new roof over my head? I don't need any of these things. I want to be happy just like just like the birds. So Lord Chaitanya was very happy with him. Kolavesha Sridhar was a very dear devotee to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he didn't possess lobe, greed. He didn't want a better house, better clothes, more riches, better food. She was very contented, very happy. And sometimes people become victims of moha, of illusion. The great illusion is, I think I need some water, is they think that they are these bodies. This is the great illusion. They think animals, human beings, birds, aquatics, they are all their bodies. This is Maya's great powerful illusion. It's the illusory energy. So there's calm, crowed, low, mudda, and then people become mad. It is said that when the sense gratification is not gratified, people become angry and they become mad. There are many institutions in this country and in many other countries where people who have gone mad live in such places. They cannot function in ordinary society. Their minds have, we call them crazy. They cannot function. And usually this is due to an excessive amount of lust, anger, greed, and delusion. They become mad. And Matsarya, the whole world is based on envy. A devotee becomes very happy when someone is very successful. And a karmi, a non-devotee, becomes very unhappy when someone is successful. Sometimes austerity is defined as doing something, forcing ourselves to do something which we ordinarily would not want to do. And not doing something which we would ordinarily want to do. That is real austerity. For a very wealthy person to give up a few rupees, 100, 1,000, 10,000 rupees, that is not a very great thing. But if he has to give up his children, his wife, his family, and his home, that is a very difficult thing. There is a story once about Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Gaurakishore Das Babaji was considered the personification of renunciation. He lived under a tree. So one very wealthy man from Calcutta came to see him, and he said, I want to give you a room in my home. I'm sorry, I can't observe near Jalakadasi today. I'm too old. Anyway, this man offered Gaurakishore Das Babaji, you come and live in my house. You'll have your own room. You won't have to live under a tree. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji refused. He said, no, I cannot live in your home. But I want to invite you to come and live with me. You can live under a tree. And you can be very happy. So the man was wearing many gold chains on his neck and gold bracelets on his arms. And he said, no, I cannot do that. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Shri Gaurinitai. So renunciation, it is a great opulence, actually. It's one of the six opulences of Krishna. Prabhupada taught yukta vairagya. He taught that you can use everything in Krishna's service. Sometimes a man wants to have more than one wife. Sometimes he goes to prostitutes. So it is in human nature, in a man's nature, he wants to enjoy more than one woman. But Krishna had 16,000 wives. 16,000 wives. So this desire to have more than one wife, only Krishna could fulfill it completely. And every wife had a beautiful palace to live in. So this is one of Krishna's great qualities. Aishparyasya samagrasya virya yasya shasashriya jnana vairagya yashchaivasana bhaga itingunam. But at the same time, Krishna could live very simply and be very happy. So today, many tens of thousands of people will go to the Janmastan in Mathura to see And they went yesterday, I think, too, to see the birthplace of Krishna. It looks like a jail. Prabhupada told one devotee that Krishna was born in a jail. The devotee told Prabhupada, he said, I have to go to jail for 4 weeks for some crime I committed before I was devotee. So Prabhupada told him, don't worry, Krishna was born in a jail. So it doesn't matter. Krishna was born in a jail. But Krishna has great power. He had the power to make the jailers fall asleep. When he was Lord Chaitanya, he had the power to open doors that were locked. This is the meaning of supreme controller. So in Vrindavan, in 1974, Prabhupada was speaking on Janamasmi, and he was saying that life comes from life, it doesn't come from matter. Prabhupada had been in the West, and he saw that so many people were trying to usurp Krishna's position. They were trying to become the supreme controllers. And he was saying the more educated they are, the more materialistic they become. But real education, genuine education, is to know that Krishna is the supreme controller. So we have the V-I-H-E. Once one man in Africa, he said to Prabhupada, he said, I want you to show me your Vishwaroop. And Prabhupada said, you are asking me to show Vishwaroop? I am not Krishna. I cannot show you Vishwaroop. He said, no, I'm not saying you are Krishna, but you have power from Krishna. So please show me your Vishwaroop. Do some magic. So Prabhupada said, Krishna has given me some power. Yes, that's true. He has given me the power to tell the foolish rascals that he is Bhagavan. That's all the power I have. So he was calling this man a foolish rascal indirectly. Once Prabhupada said that India is a breeding ground for gods. Many people, many sadhus, they are charlatans and they allow their followers to call them God. But Krishna says, I have only one power from Krishna, and that is to tell the foolish rascals that he is Bhagavan. That's the power that I have. So one of the great things about Prabhupada is that he was always, always dependent upon the books of the Acharyas, upon Krishna's word, and upon the words of the Goswamis and Sridhar Swami, Yajnavalkya, and all the great commentators. He never invented anything. Sometimes people would say to Prabhupada, you have done a very wonderful thing. And Prabhupada would say, what wonderful thing have I done? I have just repeated the words of Krishna. So Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhaviti bharata and paritranaya sadhanam vina chaya chadrish krishtam, that I come sometimes to the material world. And the purpose of my coming to this material world, the purpose is to annihilate the demons and to uphold and glorify the devotees. Then I come. So in this Kali Yuga, Krishna has come in the form of Harinam, Harinama Sankirtana, Golokheda, Premadana. It is not that Krishna is not present. He is here. And people can be educated properly about Krishna. This is real education. Once Prabhupada said that there are devotees on every street corner, we just have to find them. But they have to be educated. Therefore, it is very important to read Prabhupada's and Krishna's words, to read the words of the great acharyas like Vyasadeva and Shukadeva Goswami. So I'm going to read Prabhupada's purport to this verse, 7th chapter, 5th verse, Aparayamitastvanyam prakriche vidimeparam jiva bhutam ahobaho yayidam dharyate jagat. Prabhupada writes, here it is clearly mentioned that the living entities belong to the superior energy, the superior nature or energy of the Supreme Lord. The inferior energy mentioned in the last verse, Bhumir Apo Nalovayu, is manifested in different elements, namely earth, water, air, fire, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Both forms of material nature, namely gross, earth, etc., and subtle, mind, etc., are products of the inferior energy. So, in one sense, everything is Krishna. Wherever we look, we see Krishna. This is the goal of the bhakti yoga, yogi. He sees Krishna in everything. In water, in air, in rocks, on the ground, in the sky. He sees Krishna everywhere. But he doesn't just see the energy of Krishna. He sees Krishna the person. Sometimes when a man sits at a desk at his work, he has photographs of his wife and children. Those photographs remind him of his family. So whatever he's doing at his desk, he is thinking of the images of his wife and his children. So it is that in Krishna temples all over the world, there are deities and pictures of Krishna. So the idea is that wherever we look, whatever we hear, whatever we see, whatever we touch, whatever we taste, we should think of Krishna, not as the energy of Krishna, but as the original form of Krishna. Krishna the person. The Goswamis wrote, this was one of Rupa Goswami's statements, that if you still have a desire for love, friendship, and family, and society, then do not go to Vrindavan. Do not go to the banks of the Jamuna, where that very attractive, beautiful, three-curved form of Krishna is standing, playing his flute, with his beautiful yellow dhoti, and his lips are brightened by the full moonshine, playing on his flute beautiful melodies. Don't go there, because once you see that very beautiful Krishna and hear that beautiful flute music, then you will never be attracted by friendship, society, and love. These are Rupa Goswami's writings. They are his words. That Krishna, therefore, is all attractive. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also sings Manasa Deho Deho, that everything that is mine, body, mind, and family, I tender at your lotus feet. These beautiful songs were composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur in Bengali. Very simple, beautiful songs. Once somebody asked, how much does it cost to become Krishna conscious? And one of the members of our disciplic succession, I can't remember who it was, maybe Gaurakishore Das Babaji, said, oh, Krishna consciousness. No, it was before that. He said, Krishna consciousness, yes, it costs 5 annas. 5 annas, and then you can become Krishna conscious. He said, you buy 2 books by Narottam Das Thakur and read them, and then you will become fully Krishna conscious. You will love God. So the cost is only 5 annas. I know how many annas are in 1 paise. It's a very small amount of money. This was in 1500. So the idea was, if you'll read these songs by Narottam Das Thakur, like Partharana, then you will become fully Krishna conscious. You will learn to love Krishna. Once in Prabhupada's room, a devotee said, "Prabhupada, what pleases you the most?" He was a very big book distributor. His name was Visala. And he thought Prabhupada was going to say, "If you just distribute my books, that will please me the most." So this was a very kind of loaded question, a sort of rhetorical question. Because he thought Prabhupada was going to say, "The more books you distribute, the more you will please me." But Prabhupada didn't say that. He paused and he thought for a long time. And then he said, there were many devotees in the room, and he said, "Just learn to love Krishna. That will please me the most. Just learn to love Krishna." In other words, you could distribute many books, but you would not love Krishna. But if you learn to love Krishna, that is first class. So that is what Prabhupada told him. So I'm going to read further from this purport. "The living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. And it is due to this energy that the entire material world functions. People are very proud of their machines. They're very proud that they have a computer. And they're very proud that they have an airplane. They're very proud that they have a telephone. They're very proud that they can perform medical operations. But none of these machines will work unless a member of the superior energy, a jiva, jiva tattva or Krishna tattva, activates them. An airplane must have a pilot. A computer must have its button pushed to act. For medical surgery, there must be a surgeon. So, even though some people think that nature is the ultimate controlling entity, Krishna says, maya dakshena prakriti, unless Krishna activates that nature, nature is dormant. Nature is asleep. Nature does not act. So behind everything, there is Krishna. And this is the Rajaguhyam, the supreme secret, the best education. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya was once thought to be a ghost. A fisherman fished him out of the water in a net because he was unconscious and he thought he was a ghost. Another time, after Junior Haridas died, he came back and sang. He serenaded. He sang very sweet songs to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a ghostly form, in a disembodied form. So people who are very open-minded, they can see that there are things that we cannot see. We cannot see the mind. We cannot see the intelligence. And we can, very often we cannot see Krishna. He is acting invisibly. Sometimes he is making the stars appear at night and sometimes they're invisible. This is Krishna. Krishna acting. Sometimes Krishna causes us to think something and we don't see it. So the best education, Rajavidya, the best education is to teach people that behind everything there is Krishna. Just like behind the jet airplane there's a pilot, behind the machine someone has to push a button. For electricity to act, someone has to control it, someone has to push the button to turn on the generator. These things are done by just thinking. By Krishna's thinking, anything can happen. He can create a planet just by thinking. When we think, sometimes we get into very serious trouble. We think of something very dangerous. Just like the man who was under a desire tree. He was thinking that, oh, maybe a tiger will come and eat me. And then a tiger came and ate him because he was sitting under a desire tree. But when Krishna wishes the whole planetary universe to be wound up or created, he can do it just by thinking. He can think wonderful things. So Krishna's, sometimes we see nature as very beautiful trees, very beautiful stars in the sky, beautiful moon, beautiful grass, beautiful mountains, beautiful ocean, beautiful forests, beautiful singing of the birds. These are all manifestations of Krishna. Krishna could speak all languages. One devotee saw him speaking with a bird once, because he can speak the language of the birds. He can speak to them in their own language. He can speak the same language as the monkeys. So Krishna has that. He can speak every language. This is one of Krishna's opulences. So when Krishna came to earth, sometimes he showed these great powers. As I was saying before, it was very easy for Krishna to kill demons like Dhenukasura, just like a little toy, like a top. He threw the ass demon into the tree. When we see how difficult it is just to drive these monkeys away, we have to make noise, we have to make a stick, we have to chase them, and we have to run. It's very difficult just to make him go outside. But Krishna could kill the demons just by thinking, just by doing something very easy. Kill the demons, Aristasura, Bakasura, Dhenukasura. Very easy. So a bhakti yogi realizes that Krishna has power and thinks of Krishna all the time. And a bhakti yogi becomes very soft. One of the qualities of the devotees is that he is very, very poetic and very gentle. An Uttama Adhikari sees that everybody is serving Krishna. A Paramahansa sees that everybody is serving Krishna. Bhaktivinoda has written that not everybody is a Paramahansa. We are Majjhima Adhikaris. And a Majjhima Adhikari has to fulfill his physical, mental, psychological, and spiritual desires. So maybe he has to go to school, maybe he has to exercise, become a kshatriya. Maybe has to be cared for psychologically. This is Majjhima Adhikari. And there has to be spiritual knowledge at the same time. But a Paramhansa has no obligations. He sees everybody as serving Krishna. So one of the purposes of the Krishna consciousness movement is to make everybody, to elevate everyone gradually to the Paramahansa stage and to go back to the spiritual sky. The human life is considered to be a very important, very, very important type of body to have, because from the human life, one can go to the spiritual world. This is the great blessing of Krishna, that he can take us from the material world to the spiritual world. So for a devotee, dying and death is not the end of life, but is the beginning of a new chapter, a greater existence in the spiritual world. That is Krishna's purpose. On certain days, like on Rath Yatra and Janamasmi and Govardhana Puja, and we are fasting, and so we're thinking of Krishna almost all the time. But a bhakti yogi is always thinking of Krishna every day. Just like it is Krishna's birthday today. So sometimes when we're little children, we have birthday parties. Our parents give us parties. And every other day, 364 days from of the year on the solar calendar anyway, We call these unbirthdays. They're ordinary days. So we don't think we're anybody special. And maybe our parents don't even think about us very much. But a bhakti yogi, he thinks about Krishna every day, all the time, not just on Janamasmi, but every day. And every minute of every day. This is the meaning of being Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious means being conscious of Krishna, not just once a year on Janamasmi, but all the time, every day, every moment, every second. Hare Krishna. So I'm going to stop there. I just want to say one other thing. First Janmashtami with Prabhupada was in 1966. And most of Prabhupada sat in a room for 18 hours. We would chant japa for half an hour. Prabhupada would lecture for half an hour. And then we would have kirtan for half an hour. For 18 hours. From 6 in the morning till midnight. So he was forcing us to become Krishna conscious. No one would dare to leave the room because Prabhupada was sitting there. And if someone could not fast all day, he said, okay, you can have some sugar candy. Sugar candy is like, you know what sugar candy is? It's like crystals of sugar, like a crystal. You can see it. But he would not allow anything else. So many people will be doing Dandavat Parikram today, Sita Krishna? Because it's Janmasmi, will many people be doing Parikram today? In their home. They come out on Purushottam and Diwali. And
yeah, they will give us so many preparation for Krishna. And they will offer to Krishna, they say, Krishna appear in our preparation.
How many preparations are we making today?
I don't know, the conditions are very good.
This is a very austere temple. Anyway, it said that austerity is the wealth of the Brahmins. So, Krishna likes austerity and simplicity. So any comments? So what's the program today? Sita Krishna, we're going to at midnight have an aarti. Aarti at midnight.
11:30.
Okay. Mataja.
You mentioned in your lecture that there are only two books by Paratama Dasa. So, are these books translated into ecologically? What about these books?
I think Paratana is asking about the books of Narottam Das Thakur, if they were possible to obtain in English. I think Paratana is in English. You can get. I don't know about, there's one other, there's more than two books. He wrote many books, but these are the two most important books. I don't know the name of the other one. There's one other book. You know the name? Anybody? But I think Partana is in English. You can get it. It's also on the folio, huh? Maybe, yeah, I think so. But that, no, that's only, that, there's another book, I think. I don't know the name. Anyway, there's, Partana is, you can get in English. It's on the, computer, what's it called? Veda base, also. Partana is in the, I think you can get these books in Vrindavan, at the temple. I think so.
I want to ask about Vasudeva. Actually, he was a Kshatriya at his position, but when Kamsa wanted to kill Devaki, he didn't start to fight, to struggle with Kamsa, but he started to appreciate him and speak with him in some special way. So we see that he had maybe like a Brahmana or like a Vaishnava. But when Arjuna suggested the same on the battlefield, that I don't want to struggle, I will just go to forest. Krishna said, no, you should ask this Kshatriya. So why was Sudeva? Why was Sudeva didn't start to struggle?
So his question was, why did Arjuna fight instead of being diplomatic on the battlefield? But Vasudeva, although he was also a Kshatriya, he used diplomacy instead of fighting with Kamsa. So that was the question. So being a Kshatriya doesn't mean only fighting. It also means being diplomatic. To be a political king, there were so many kings, like King Paranjan, King Kalyavani, so many. King Bharata, King Duryodhana. So politics means sometimes being diplomatic. And it is said in English that discretion is the better part of valor. Valor means bravery, but sometimes one has to make alliances with others. It's a form of diplomacy that was written about by Chanakya Pandit in Kautilya. Chanakya was the advisor to Chandragupta, another great king. So, because Kamsa had ultimately had control over Devaki, he could kill her if he wanted to. And they were under the same family. So, Vasudeva employed diplomacy. Maybe he thought that he couldn't kill Kamsa, and that Kamsa could kill his wife. So he used diplomacy. This is also a Kshatriya quality, to be diplomatic. And sometimes diplomacy is better than fighting. In the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was also diplomatic. He went to the Kurus and tried to avoid the war. So they tried all sorts of diplomatic ways. They were unsuccessful. Therefore, the only way that the Pandavas could be successful was to fight. But Vasudeva was successful. All the children were eventually reunited, and they were changed their bodies again. But that was also Kshatriya quality. King Vasudeva. Vasudeva also had more than one wife. Jai Krishna Balaram. So today we'll meditate on Krishna and be in samadhi. And same with tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. We hope. Shri Krishna Janmasri Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Janmasri Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Hare